my name's Ty Mel. I'm the middle adult pastor here at New Covenant Bible Church, and if you didn't know that, and I get to share today. We're in a series called, I know what the series is called, What Are You Waiting For? And today we're going to talk about the shepherds. And I was looking at a video online of Steve Jobs. And Steve Jobs, on January 9th of 2007, walked onto the stage. He was then the CEO of Apple. He walked onto the stage, and he had a brand new announcement that people couldn't hardly wait to hear. See, up until that point, Apple didn't have a phone. So people were just waiting with bated breath, like when's this phone going to come out? And they worked on it, worked on it, worked on it. And so he started into his address, and it kind of went like this. He said, we're going to have a new, brand spanking new, widescreen iPod with touch controls. Now, how many of you guys had an iPod? Raise your hands. Yeah. Oh, okay. Lots of people had iPods. Okay, so I still have mine. It's broke. It doesn't work anymore. I'm just keeping it. Maybe someday I can show my great-grandkids, you know, the horrible thing we had to listen to our music on, you know, along with the cassette and the 8-track that I've got as well. So it's kind of journey through my life. So iPod, and then a revolutionary mobile phone. The crowd went bananas. That's what they were waiting on. And he said, a breakthrough internet communications device. So here's what we have. And then he went through this theatric of, you know, Steve, if you ever saw any of his addresses, you should. They're really good. He said, we have an iPod, a phone, an internet communicator. We have, and then he said, are you getting the picture? Again, the crowd went bananas because what they knew was the iPod now was going out, and now that was going to be inside your phone. And he pulled out of his right pocket, here I got to do this like he did. He pulled out of his right pocket and he said, and we're calling it iPhone. Wow. The crowd went crazy. It was just unbelievable how excited people were for this new iPhone. Then, later in the address, if you can listen to the first 5 or 6 minutes, I posted it on my Facebook page so you could watch it, kind of homework to get ready for today. Like, you know, read your Bible to get ready for church. No, Ty, as you're watching a video, Steve Jobs. But, you know, so later in the video, then he talks about how the BlackBerry. How many of you had a BlackBerry? Yeah, that's the big one, right? The BlackBerry, the Palm Trail. Anybody have a Palm Trail? I have one because somebody gave it to me. But they either took a stylus or they took, you had to use that little ball in the middle for a cursor, right? You remember that? Yeah, that was, it was crazy and it was frustrating. And he says, we have a revolutionary device, pointing device. It's called your finger. And you have it with you at all times. You don't have to lose it. And then on the screen, he did something we had never seen before. He went like this, right? And it scrolled. And the faster he went like this, the faster it scrolled. I am telling you, you watch this video and tell me if I'm not lying. They went crazy. This was incredible technology to be able to do this. And also, you were able to pinch to make it smaller. But as older folks, we don't like that. So what do? I expand it to make it bigger so I can see the darn thing, right? But the crowd went nuts. And now today, with my phone, actually, by the way, I have a first generation iPhone, so it's probably worth what? Nothing. It's zero. Sell it on eBay. Now I have my phone, and here's what I catch myself doing. I'm watching TV. Why are you scrolling on your phone, sweetie? I don't know. You know, just scrolling. I see people sitting around at Starbucks. Why? Here's what happened. We forgot that there was a time when you couldn't go like this. And we've kind of lost the wonder of it all. I couldn't wait to get my hands on that first iPhone so that I could do this like everybody else, right? There came a point. This is the bane of mankind. is that we get something new and it's so fresh, so exciting, and we can't hardly wait to show it to our friends. And then, as you know, the newness begins to wear off. And this isn't just with phones, man, this is with everything. This, if you're married, you know you couldn't hardly wait for that day. She walked down the aisle and you said, "Tonight, I don't have to drive her home. She's going with me. This is so exciting. I can't believe it." And statistically speaking, 6 months to 2 years later, you wake up and go like, "Why did I marry them?" Right? Don't say "right" out loud. I'll get you in trouble, guys. You know, statistically speaking, of course. But we do this with everything. You buy a car. You buy a thing. And you're so excited. You tell your friends. Somebody posts on Facebook, recommendations for, oh, link, everything's in there. And after a while, you're just like, whatever, you know? You're just, whatever. And I think it's the same way with the gospel of Jesus Christ and for Christ followers. We have a tendency to forget what Christ has done for us. And it's just natural. I'm not blaming anybody or criticizing. I'm just saying it's natural. And we can look at the Bible this morning. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 8. That's a Christmas story. We're going to start reading there. And if we walk out of here today with two things, just two things, I'll be happy. One, and we're going to dial in on the shepherds. There's other characters in this story, but we're just going to dial in on two guys. Two things, one set of people, the shepherds. And here's the thing. The shepherds heard the message. They got to hear it first, actually. And the shepherds responded to the message first. That's the two things. The shepherds heard the message of the angels. The shepherds responded to the message of the angels. So, on your device or your Bible or on the screen even, you can look. We'll have it on there. I'm going to begin reading in Luke 2, verse number 8. And if you're unfamiliar with this, maybe you watched Charlie Brown and you saw Linus after Charlie Brown says, "What is the meaning of Christmas?" And Linus walks out and this is the script that he reads. So maybe we can just pretend like we're sitting in the living room and the gas fireplace is crackling. "Now there were shepherds nearby living out in the field, keeping guard over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a vast heavenly army appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased.' When the angels left them and went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem, see how the shepherds connect for us. The city of David is the same thing as Bethlehem. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place that the Lord has made known to us.' So they hurried off and located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger. When they saw him, they related what they had been told by who? The angels, right? About this child, and all who heard it were astonished at what the shepherd said. But Mary treasured up all these words, pondering in her heart what they might mean. So the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything was just as they had been told." So we're going to dial in on the shepherds. That little verse there about Mary. Man, I made a terrible mistake when we were in our study guide meeting. We work on our sermons together in collaboration, and I made a terrible mistake of saying this. I said, and that verse number 19 is pregnant with meaning. Oh, man, that was a big mistake. They said, that's funny. I said, no, I didn't mean it that way. It is, though. That verse has tons of things we could talk about, but today we're not going to go there. We're just going to focus in on the shepherds. So the shepherds heard, shepherds responded. What was the announcement that the shepherds heard? Look with me in verse number 10. So here's the message that the angels shared with the shepherds. "But the angels said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news.'" That's the first thing. good news. This is really interesting use of the word, because the word proclaim is not in the original language. Actually, so you see herald, you know, hark the herald, you know, and that one. But that word really isn't in the text. What they did was they took the word, which is where we get the word evangelize or euangelion. They took that word and they made a participle. I think of it, man, like I'm not the smartest tool in the shed here, so I think it's participle. If you know grammar better than me, then just go along with me or you'll hurt my feelings, okay? So participle. So it was a participle. And what they did was they took that word, it's typically a noun, and they said, good news, we're good newsing you. So the angels good newsed the shepherds. They brought good news. This word is really important because this word would later get worked out in the Gospels and then in all the letters in the New Testament to the churches. This word would get worked out to meaning the gospel. So the word euangelion, we translate that good news, and the good news that the angels delivered on that night is also the good news of the gospel. See that? So what is the gospel then? What is the gospel? And the Apostle Paul addresses what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, he says this. This is Apostle Paul now. Apostle Paul is writing to a church in Corinth. So these are believers after Jesus' resurrection. Church had been started. And now Paul's writing to this group of believers. And this is what he tells them. It's probably 20, 30 years later. Now, I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel that I preached to you, that you received, on which you stand. So he wants to make clear what the gospel is. And then skip to verse number 3. For I passed on to you as first importance what I also received. That, now he's going to tell us what the gospel is. That Christ died according to the scriptures. That he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. So what's the gospel? The gospel is really easy. It's Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. If you ask me, a lot of times, man, we really complicate the gospel. We make it way more than it really is. When somebody wants to know what the gospel is, what the good news of the gospel is, it's really easy. It's the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins. It says right there, for our sins. And he was buried. Just like the gospel, just like the scripture said, he predicted this. Then he raised again on the third day according to scriptures. And we could go on and on and on and go back to Acts and talk about how 500 people had seen him at one time. But suffice to say that as the angel came and shared this good news with the shepherds, he was essentially sharing the gospel that eventually that baby that they were going to find born in a manger, that baby was going to be the good news that was going to save people from their sins. That's all couched in that. And then the second thing I see here, and I'm just pulling a few things out, that there would be great joy for all people. Why would there be great joy for all people? The reason there's great joy for all people is because they had waited and waited and waited. They waited a couple millennia for this. Abraham received the promise of a redeemer in Genesis 12, 2,200 years prior to this. They were waiting on the day when their Messiah would come. That's why we called the series, "What Are You Waiting? What Are You Waiting For?" And now, finally, the Messiah was born, and it would bring great joy. You know, the thing is, I remember when we didn't have an iPhone. It didn't matter. I probably wasn't going to get one anyways because they were pretty expensive. And I already had a phone that about halfway worked most of the time, right? So I was pretty happy with that. And then I saw that announcement, and I saw him going like this. I'm like, oh, I got to have that. I've got to have one of those. And somebody on staff, Aaron Bird, he got one. And I was watching him go like this, and I was over here scrolling with my little button, you know? I wanted this. I was so excited. And then the day I got my new iPhone, it just brought great joy. Did I just compare Jesus to an iPhone? Okay, maybe not. It's the expectation of waiting and waiting. And now Jesus brings great joy. It says, a Savior. I don't have to really talk to you much about this because it means exactly what it says. A Savior, someone to save us. And then that verse in Corinthians clarified that, to save us from what? To save His people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came. The baby was born in the manger, ultimately to die to save us from our sins. A Savior, a city of David. It says a city of David. Why would it say the city of David? That was Bethlehem. And there's many scriptures in the Old Testament predicting when, where, how, who the Christ would be. And in Micah 5:2, so Micah, that's M-I-C-A-H, Micah 5:2. Now I'll tell you a little easy way to remember Micah 5:2 that predicted where Jesus would be born several hundred years before he was. Christmas, we celebrate Christmas on the 25th, right? So if you take the 25th and reverse it, you get 5:2. You add Micah to it. Micah 5:2 shares. Now see, now that I told you that, we had a college professor that told us that. And I went, I've remembered it ever since, you know. Micah 5:2. But it said that he would be born in a town called Bethlehem. It also said, and we're not going to get into this because we're focusing on the shepherds and the message, but he would come from the line of David. There are so many prophecies fulfilled when Jesus Christ arrived on planet Earth in a manger. And then the last thing is on earth, peace among people. He would bring peace. You see, there's no way for us to get peace without Jesus in our lives. We can have some kind of peace in this life and maybe get through it all right, but we'll never have peace without Jesus, and ultimately, He's going to bring peace to the entire world, and the whole world's going to have peace, but that's not what we see right now. But He came so that we could have peace, and that peace speaks to the peace that we can have with God because we're at odds with God because of sin. And the angel is announcing on the very first night when Jesus was born, on that very first night, saying, there's peace. There's peace, and He's bringing peace. Man, that's exciting. So the angels heard a message. The shepherds heard a message. Then I had titled the message, Why Shepherds? Because I was going to take this a different direction when people who plan way ahead forced me to tell them something. Just kidding. So I had to tell something so everything could print it. But why shepherds? But I just want to take a minute, a sidebar here, and ask the question, like, why shepherds? Why would God show up to shepherds? I can tell you, folks, that's not what I would have done. I would have had Jesus showing up at the temple. I would have had the religious scholars all looking into the Old Testament and saying, yep, Isaiah 9:6, Micah 5:2, Genesis 12:1, Genesis 22. Oh, yep, He's the one. Numbers, yep. The scepter will not depart. I mean, oh, yeah, He's the one. If you've ever sang the Messiah, you've sang all those verses, you know. He's the one. And not having delivered there, and then the chief priests and all the religious people would have said, yes, He's the one. Actually, that's not what happened, is it? The message came to people who were social outcasts. No one wanted to be with shepherds. They were also religious outcasts. They were ceremonially unclean. That means, that's hard for us to understand in our culture. What that means is they couldn't go to the temple and worship because they were continually ceremonially unclean. They couldn't even go worship God. So here they are out in the fields with their sheep. And God decided the first people He was going to announce the actual birth to was shepherds. And I really think Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaks to this in the same letter, ironically, in Corinthians. And he says this, to help us understand Jesus coming, being announced by shepherds, being born to poverty. Mary and Joseph didn't have any money. They were poor people. We know that by the sacrifice that they offered when Jesus was born. They couldn't even offer the better sacrifice. They had to offer doves. They couldn't even offer a lamb. They didn't have the money. And then showed up in a town, and they didn't have any place for him to go. And then when he was born, they laid him in a feeding trough. There wasn't the initials of the precious little baby with the mobile going around like this, and then the bassinet with all the frilly stuff. None of that. He was born in a lowly, humble position. And I think Paul speaks to this in Corinthians. Think about the circumstances of your call, brothers and sisters. So he's talking to church people. Not many were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. And not many were born to a privileged position. But God chose what the world thinks foolish to shame the wise. And God chose what the world thinks weak to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world and what is regarded as nothing to set aside what is regarded as something. Now watch this, watch this. That last phrase is what it's all about. So that no one can boast in his presence. If you think you're too far for God to get into your life and to change your life, you are wrong. When he showed up to the humble and the poor and the downtrodden and the fringe. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came for those, not only them, but also for the up and out. I call them the down and outers and the up and outers. He came for both. Did I say something funny? You'll tell me later, right? There's a postscript to this whole story. Like, I'm just imagining. This is what I think of scriptures, okay? So, welcome to my world. I just think of these guys. They didn't just end because the story ended in the Bible. This didn't end. They kept living their lives if they didn't die, right? They kept shepherding sheep. I could just imagine those guys sitting around the campfire 10 years later going, "Hey, Joe, hey, remember that night? The angels?" And you know how guys are. You know, that story probably got a little bit bigger over the years, right? We call them the guys that sit at Casey's at the little area. I have a friend who calls them the Liar's Club. Because the more you tell a story, see, it gets a little bit bigger. You know, how do you make an angel story bigger, though, for crying out loud? Angel shows up. An angel shows up, guess what? That's a big story, right? But I could just imagine these guys. I could just imagine these guys sitting there saying, "Wow. What a night that was." They might have even been around when Jesus was in the temple when he was 12 and then when he was crucified. Wow, that Jesus, wow. So they heard the message and they responded to the message. The shepherds responded to the announcement first. They responded immediately to the message. Look at verse number 15 with me if you don't mind. When the angels left them and went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem." How far is Bethlehem? They were probably in the general vicinity at that point. They were probably very near there. And Bethlehem is only about 5 miles from Jerusalem. So these areas are pretty close. "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place that the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off and located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger. That was a sign, right? They were looking for that. And when they saw him, they related what they had been told. So they said, "Hey, the angels, check it out. They had been told about this child, and all who heard it were astonished at what the shepherds said." Notice that it says this. It says that they went immediately. I don't know about you, but when I gave my life to Jesus, it wasn't an immediate thing. I had heard the message of the gospel, but it took me a while to get with it. It took me a while for the Spirit of God to changed my heart toward it. And then when he did, man, it was amazing when he did. And he changed my life. But it says the shepherds went immediately. That's what we should do. When we think of Jesus, when we think about his birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, we should go immediately to that. There was a sense of urgency. Then check this out. Verse 17. When they saw him, they related what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were astonished. Now, let me read that again. When they saw him, they related what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it. So I gain a couple of things from this text. I mean, it's just a handful of words, but it tells us an awful lot about what happened. So the shepherds heard. They responded, they went, then they did this. They began sharing the good news right away. See, the thing is, when we encounter Jesus and he changes your life, you can't help but share it. Man, some of you guys on Facebook, you know, you put out there, you're, oh, I'm looking for a mechanic, or I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that. And then, you know, oh boy, I know somebody. And then, have you ever met somebody that does essential oils, right? So you got a neck ache, oh, I got an oil for that, right? They're not chuckling. Does nobody else know, have friends that do oils, right? So, hey man, hey, that's great. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, you believe in what you're doing. You believe in your product. You believe in this. And then you want to share it with everybody. And here's what I believe happens, that we get to the point where we don't want to do this anymore, that we just kind of do the deal. We just kind of show up to the church. The Bible kind of gets dusty. We kind of see the child in the manger. We do the Christmas shopping and it's over. We've lost the wonder of it all. It says here that not only did they spread word of the birth, but look at verse 20. It says they returned glorifying and praising God. They were worshiping God for all the things they saw. If we're not careful, we'll wind up. And man, I've just walked through a time in my life where I got to where it was kind of just, I was just doing the deal, man. I was doing the Christian thing. I was going to the church. I was ministering. I was maybe saying a prayer. I was definitely, I love reading the word, but some days I just read it and I got it done. I checked the thing off my list and I forget that it's not a thing, but it's a person. And it's a person, Jesus, who was born in a manger, who was born to die, that ultimately went to a cross and he paid a cruel death, died a terrible death, was buried and resurrected on the third day. And actually he forecasted this and pulled it off. And I just go, well, yeah, it's nice. Man, it's more than that. The shepherds' lives were completely changed. They were completely changed. And then it says this, and all who heard it, look at verse 18, and all who heard it were astonished. That word astonished is a really interesting word. If you can't tell, I love rumbling around some of the words in the original language in the Bible. And this word is very interesting. It's the word thaumazo. And it's the word that you get that Mary pondered. You get, maybe not in this text, but in others, they wondered, pondered, they were marveled and amazed. In fact, this word is ascribed to Jesus more often than not, all the way through just the book of Luke and in the other writers as well. But it says, when he calmed the sea and made it like glass on the Sea of Galilee, it says they were all marveled. They were astonished. When he healed the blind man, it says that the people that saw this marveled. It says that when he did all the miracles, often the word right there is thaumazo. They were astonished. And here's what happens to us. Here's what happened to me. Here's what happens to anybody. We've been believers for so long that we just do the deal. And God's calling us, and Jesus is calling us to continue to be astonished, continue to be marveled, continue to look at Jesus and say, you're worthy to be praised. You're worth it. You're worth my worship. Rather than just kind of jump through the hoops. So if you're here today, and you haven't turned your life over to Christ, you haven't trusted Jesus, as we would say, I want to encourage, well, first I want to tell you that, man, we are glad you're here. Please keep coming. And maybe no one here knows, but you're just checking it out. I want you to know that we're glad you're here. There's space for you. And if you have questions, we have answers. We might not be able to answer all your questions, but we have answers. But eventually, I'm challenging you to trust Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins, was buried, rose again on the third day. And if you have questions about that, go to the head of the line, talk to any one of us here. Let's figure it out. And let's not convolute the gospel. That's what the gospel is. That's what we all need. That's what most of us have trusted here. That's why we're here today. But then, man, your astonishment, your amazement, your marvel in all that God's done has just grown cold. And this is natural. I'm not criticizing, man. There's no criticizing. I've just walked through this whole thing myself. But today, I want to encourage you to turn your gaze back to Jesus for all that he's done. There's a couple mechanics that you could do to make this happen. One of the things is just begin reading the Bible again. Read it as if you were there. That's what I do. When I read this, I try to put myself. In fact, I tried to find this on, I went on Google Earth, hoping to find some shepherds watching their flock so I could show you a picture. But guess what? Bethlehem has changed drastically. So there's arenas and super highways and all kinds of stuff there. So no Google Earth pictures of shepherds, okay? So, but I was really kind of hoping there. But insert yourself into the gospel narrative. Imagine that you were there. Be there. Write out your faith journey, man. Write out your faith journey. Start from all the stupid things you did before you gave your life to Christ and how Christ changed your life and what that day was like and then how he's worked and markers along the way, how God has been faithful to you. And write it out and type it out. Get that out and read it periodically, man. And be reminded of all that God has done. And then the last thing is just worship fully. I know it's busy. I know we've got gifts to buy. We're gonna buy gifts. And don't be some stick in the mud and go like, well, you know, I'm a Christian. We're not buying anybody gifts. No. Buy gifts. That's kind of what our culture does. That's fine. But you got to remember, I know it's cliche, but you remember the reason for the season. And please turn your eyes to Jesus. Turn your eyes to Jesus. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that was buried. He's the one who rose again on the third day. Would you bow your heads real quick for me, please? I just want to encourage you, man, to rekindle this. And God is speaking to your heart right now. I'm not going to be all weird and play music and try to get you to come down front or sign a card or stand up or even raise your hand. Nothing. Just you and God right there in that seat. You and God. And God has already been working in your heart. I believe that because the Holy Spirit lives within each of us. And he's working in your heart. That thing that he's saying to you is the thing you need to take action on. I've made some recommendations, but really, that thing that he's made, that he's talking to you about, that's the thing you need to do. And I'm a big believer in, heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm a big believer, man, in telling somebody. You got to tell somebody, because otherwise it's probably going to end and die with you. So tell somebody what God's doing in your life. Let them pray with you. And then, man, this is what a season to rekindle our relationship with Jesus and to be salt and light in this world that we live in. Father, just thank you so much that you came. Thank you for this message. There's so much in here. You came and died on that cross. If there was just one of us here today, you would have died on that cross. But you died for us. You didn't die for yourself, but you died in our place. And I thank you so much for that. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing in our church family. It's exciting. It's exhilarating to me. Lord, help us to rekindle this relationship with you. And even though at times it's going to come and go, Lord, that's a process of life. Lord, help us to be reminded, be focused on you, especially in this Christmas season, God. Receive glory, I pray, in all that we do and say this week. In Jesus' name, amen.